He's saying, I'm tore from the floor up. I want God to get them, but wait a minute. That's not how God wants me to respond. God wants me to respond not out of feeling, but out of faith.
You're listening to Treasure Truth with pastor and author James Ford Jr., senior pastor of the Christ Bible Church in Chicago. I'm Steve Hillard. Glad that you're with us today as we continue this message, Broken by Betrayal, How to Deal with Betrayal. And pastor, anytime that we're deeply wounded, whether it's betrayal or some other thing that just cuts real deep, as you often say, the flesh is the first responder. We're going to want to respond out of that emotion, out of that feeling, out of that flesh. Help us get to the point to where we can begin to respond with faith.
Well, I think when you look at the text, David wants to be imprecatory at first, and that is when you call down judgment on people who have wronged you. And that's a natural response.
Yes.
But then he begins to say, this is how I feel, but how does God feel about it? Now, you remember in the New Testament, where there was a man who was forgiven, and he was forgiven for owing his master millions of dollars.
Yep.
Yet he wanted to turn around and put somebody in debtor's prison for owing him $100.
Yeah.
And his master found out about it, said, you wicked, slothful servant. I forgave you millions, and you won't forgive $100? And, you know, we have to make that comparison.
Yeah, it's a great picture.
It's like, once I realize how much God has, look at the betrayal that I have done in my lifetime against a holy God. Yeah, I'm a believer now, but look at all the damage I did. And I begin to realize, how does God want me to function? Well, what did he say? He said, forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors.
Yeah.
And so what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is when I forego the right to hurt you because you hurt me.
Well, we're going to look at that in today's message. So if you can, grab a Bible and join us in Psalm 55 as we continue, Broken by Betrayal, How to Deal with Betrayal. Here's Pastor Ford.
Notice the change of personal pronoun. Third person, he. First person, you. He's gone from talking to God to talking to the person who hurt him. Now, I would assume that the person is not even there. But some theologians say it should start a different psalm just because of that. I don't believe that. David's the sweet psalmist of Israel. And so it's easy for him to do that. It's like they came out with this psalm. It rose to the top of the R&B charts. It launched their stardom into superstardom. It was the OJ's Backstabbers. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about, where'd I put that song? He says, smile in your face. All the time they want to take your place. I keep getting all these visits from my friends. Yeah, what they doing to me? They come to my house again and again and again. Yeah, yeah. So while they're there to see my woman, I don't even be home, but they just keep on coming. What can I do to get on the right track? I wish they'd take some of these knives out of my back. Some people who are patting you on the back are not complimenting you. They're looking for a soft spot in which to stick the knife. Then remember that other song? Smiling faces, smiling faces. Sometimes they don't tell the truth. Smiling faces tell lies. Yeah. See, it's better to have an enemy that slaps you in your face than a friend who stabs you in your back. Isn't it tragic that it's generally the ones you take a bullet for that are pulling the trigger? Oh, y'all ain't gonna pray with me in here. I'm gonna go ahead and finish it. I'm gonna get you on out of here. And so what does he do? Man, he's addressing it in this psalm. I got a couple more. Let me give you number four. Don't let your feelings control your actions. See, we are to respond volitionally, not emotionally, even though the emotions are the first responder. The flesh is always the first responder. God wants us to respond volitionally. And we have to override. Listen to verse 16. As for me, I will call upon the Lord, and the Lord shall save me. It's pivotal. It's the turn in the psalm. He's saying, I'm tore from the floor up. I want God to get him, but wait a minute. That's not how God wants me to respond. God wants me to respond not out of feeling, but out of faith. To give volitionally my will to him. See, in verses 1 through 15, David tells us how he feels. But in 16 through 23, he says, this is what I will do. Have you come to the place that what you do controls how you feel? Because that's the place that David says we have to come to if we're going to deal with this situation. I got to expedite this. Principle number 5, verse 17. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. He shall hear my voice. Get this. Jews pray 3 times a day. Give me the times. 3 times a day. What are the times? 9, 12, and 3. That's right. Now, we cite this, and sometimes we preach it by itself to talk about prayer. But notice the context. I want you to notice. What did he do? He went to God. And he went to God in prayer. But in verse 17, he's still praying. Do you see then that there are some times that you need to understand an act of my will is punctiliar, I make a decision, but my emotional healing is process. And what hates my process is prayer. I told him this morning what you said in your ordination council and how you confirmed what we were talking about. And you didn't even know it. And I didn't tell you till after the ordination service that he said that he goes to Tony Evans' church when he's not working at his Messianic Jewish church. And he says it's not the preaching of Tony Evans that did that. It's the prayers of the people of God. Prayer is he believes in prayer. They all believe in prayer. And that's the foundation, because when you pray, nobody can take credit but God. And everybody knows you didn't do it. You prayed, and prayer is the petition of an inferior to a superior. That's what it is. And so when you look at it, then the whole foundation has to be a prayer, because it can't be the preaching of a man that draws people. It's got to be God. And so that's what he shared. Then he said, because what did Jesus say? My Father's house shall be called a house of prayer. You made a den of thieves. And then I told him that about 3 months ago, I got up and said, this is a den of thieves. Not because we don't have prayer warriors, but because prayer does not permeate everything. And so Sister Betts, God worked it out so she could be back here until June. And she is implementing prayer in every facet. I'm not saying we weren't praying. We're putting it together. Collegiate prayer. We want people at this service from the 8 o'clock service to be in the fireside room praying the entire time that we're here in this service. We want people from the 11 o'clock service to come at 8 o'clock and pray for the 8 o'clock service the entire time. And then we're opening a prayer line, and we got prayer box out there, and prayer is really going to become this place's priority. We're going to be known as a house of prayer. See, I say it all the time, but I love to say it. He who would stand before men must first kneel before God. Anybody remember the secret of the bended knee? Okay, I'm almost done. The secret of the bended knee. I used to wonder when I was a kid, I see the birds sleeping on the wire, and they be asleep and they don't fall. And even after I throw rocks. Oh, y'all ain't never done that? See if you can hit them. And I got a couple of them too, Jack. But anyway, so. An ornithologist, that's a bird doctor, y'all, had an article, and I read it. I said, wow, I'm an adult, but you ain't never too old to learn. And he began to talk about the secret of the bended knee. He said, you ever wonder why birds can sleep on a wire and not fall off? And I said, man, I've been wondering that since I was a kid. And he said, because of how God has made them. Once they get on the wire and lock their claws around the wire, their entire system is hardened so that their legs will not bend. They are immobilized by the bended claws. I said, wow, that's the secret of God working for the believer, the bended knee. That when our knees are bent, even if we're sleeping, prayer is working. He prays, man. He prays.
Aren't you encouraged to hear that, to be reminded of those truths? You're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor Ford in a message called Broken by Betrayal, How to Deal with Betrayal. And we'll get back to this look at Psalm 55 and the rest of this message in just a moment. I want to let you know, if you joined us late or you ever miss a broadcast, you can always listen to each and every program online. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Just come to treasuretruthradio.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Ford.
Hey, here it is. Let me drop it. Drop it like it's hot. Number 7, find your satisfaction in God. Now, I'm giving you to do the work because I want you to see what he says. He says, And I will call upon, and the Lord shall save me. Evening, morning, noon will I cry and cry aloud. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there are many that are with me. Notice what he did. Transition. A couple against him, he started looking at the many that are with him. Wait. Do you focus in on what was lost, or do you focus in on what was left? When I buried my mama, you know, they were saying, you ain't crying, your mama's gone. Well, first of all, my mama, I know where she is. She ain't lost. She's in the presence of the Lord. And so I don't sorrow like everybody else has sorrow. But I don't focus in on what I lost. I focus in on what I have left. And so he says, there are many that are with me. Now watch this. What does he find his satisfaction in God? Listen to this. First of all, in supplication, that's 16, that's prayer. Then in his sovereignty, 17, 18. Then in his salvation, that's 18. Then in his sustaining power, that's 19. Then in his security, that's 19b. Let me say it again. Find your satisfaction in God. Why? Because he's the only one that can truly satisfy. And what did he do? He found it in 5 areas. Supplication to God, the sovereignty of God, salvation from God, sustaining power of God, and the security that God gives. Verse 22, he gives it all to God. Here's what he says. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. What's he doing? Let's get this. First of all, he talked to God. Then he talked to his enemy. Now he's testifying to us. Cast all your burdens. What did I cast my burdens. See, here's what we do, and we make a mistake. We take it to the cross. Then when we get ready to leave, we pick it up and take it back with us. He says, no, you got to give it to God. And I told him this morning about the illustration that I need to never do again. Because every time I do, those who've been here with me a long time, they always frown up their face. So get your face frowned up. I was living on Escanaba, right in the DMZ between the vice lords and the gangster disciples. And there was always a display of power. Well, one day I'm going home. I went to, you know, to my exclusive store. Aldi's got me some bread and some bologna and some mustard. And a tomato and some lettuce, all for under $1. And I went home, make me a sandwich, got my red Kool-Aid in my mason jar. I hear this commotion, and I look out, and there's some gangbangers walking through my yard. I come out, I said, man, y'all better be glad my dogs ain't out, because I had 2 pit bulls. And both of them dripping wet. Then I was 305, you know. I was 305 then. People just called me Big Man. That's all they called me. Hey, Big Man. And so these guys dripping wet, wasn't 300 pounds. So one little dude said, nah, you better be glad your dogs ain't out. Man, I ain't always been saved. And my first thought, I said, what you say? And I started walking down toward them. And the Holy Spirit said, how would it sound? Look in the paper. Pastor fights gangbangers, gangbangers shoot pastor. I turned around, and the boy said, you better turn around. Hold my peace. Help me, Lord. Help me. Because they'll tell you when I'm out there, I don't play. I go evangelize. I don't play. So I go in. I get on my knees. I say, Lord, vengeance is mine. I repay, saith the Lord. I'm going to give it to you. I'm telling you, and I really want to handle this myself, but I know better. My son was going to Olive Harvey. He comes in about 15 minutes later. He said, Dad, you see what's happening? I said, what's happening? He said, man, there's a squadrille right down on the corner, and these two cops are whooping these two boys' head. I said, really? I described them. He said, yeah, that's them. I said, come on, son, come on. We go out. I get there just in time. The one who did like this here, the cop had him by the back of the neck and by the seat of his pants with no belt on and threw him in the back of that squad drawer. I threw my hands up and said, hallelujah. I said, son, throw your hands up. It was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon and everybody was looking on the corners and everything. I said, throw your hands up, man, give praise to God. He's like, ooh. But I gave it to him, and God took care of it. Here's the last thing, and you've been so patient. Verse 22. But thou, O God, that but is the transition, second transition, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction, bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. Get this. Here's the last principle. Make sure you didn't precipitate the betrayal. Now put these down. I'll tell you what's going on. 2 Samuel 16:23. 2 Samuel 23:34. 2 Samuel 11. Who is this that betrayed him? Ahithophel. How do we know it? Because of verses 12 and 13. But it was you, a man, my equal. Absalom was not his equal. My guide, Absalom was not his guide. My acquaintance, Absalom was not his acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together. And that word literally speaks about the wisdom that God gives someone to give to somebody else. And walked in the house of God in company. Who is that? Ahithophel. Now, who was Ahithophel? Ahithophel was David's counselor. That when Absalom betrayed him, Ahithophel left David and went to Absalom. David sang, et tu, Ahithophel? How could you do this? Now, David's crushed by it, but I submit to you, he brought it on himself. How do you know that? Because of the scripture I gave you. Because if you would look at 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 34, here's what you have. You have the 30 mighty men of David. Who's one of them? Listen to this. Eliphelet, the son of Ahashbi, the son of Maacathite. Eliam, the son of Ahithophel, the Gileonite. Eliam, or Eliam, is one of the David's mighty 30 men. He's the son of Ahithophel. Who is Bathsheba? 2 Samuel 11. She is the daughter of Eliam. Why did Ahithophel betray David? Because David slept with his grandbaby, had his grandson killed, and he was his counselor, and his son was one of his mighty men. And Ahithophel was crushed and broken, but he did not do what David did. And what David said would happen, happened because Ahithophel didn't handle his betrayal like David handled his betrayal. So Ahithophel committed suicide while David was restored. Thank you. You've been so gracious. I sure hope I've helped somebody today. But listen, let me tell you this. And let me say it with everything I can muster. The greatest betrayal wasn't Julius Caesar. The greatest betrayal was when Judas sold our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the price of a slave. Think about this betrayal. Kissing. When you kiss the forehead, it's a blessing. And usually, the blesser is kissing the blessee. When you kiss the cheek, the highest sign of friendship. When you kiss the mouth, affection. When you kiss the hand, approbation and appreciation. Here's what he says. Judas betrayed him with a kiss. The highest sign of affection. He betrayed his Lord. If you don't know Jesus today, you have betrayed God. Because God made you in his image. It's called the Imago Dei in Latin. You have personality, intellect, emotion, will, free moral agency, and you're trichotomous like our God, your spirit, soul, body. And you were made in his image for his glory. And guess what? Because of our sin, that glory is not reflected. But Jesus Christ came because the Bible says that he is the one who brings grace and truth. And so what he wants to do is restore the glory by redeeming us, bringing us back to God through his shed blood at Calvary. So that you can now become a friend of God. Isn't it amazing that Peter, his friend, he called an enemy, and Judas, the enemy, he called a friend. Let me tell you why, because even Jesus knew it. Your friend is your enemy when they don't want for you what God wants for you. And your enemy is your friend when what they do to you pushes you toward the destiny that God has for you.
That's something to stop and make you think for just a moment, isn't it? You're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor Ford, a message called Broken by Betrayal, How to Deal with Betrayal. Hope that you've been enjoying Pastor Ford's teaching and that it's made a difference in your life. If so, we'd love to hear how God is using this program. John in Florida recently wrote to us. He said, I wanted to reach out and thank Pastor Ford for his encouraging messages. I use the podcast on my workouts and in the car to keep me focused on what really matters. Press on, Pastor Ford, because your gift of preaching is something I really appreciate. Well, John, we appreciate hearing from you and letting us know that Pastor Ford's teaching is making a difference in your life. You know, maybe you've never considered using a program like this, like Treasure Truth, to be something that you're listening to when you're working out or when you're commuting. Well, you can always subscribe to the podcast by coming to our website. It's treasuretruthradio.org. You can sign up there. And if you happen to use iTunes for your podcast, would you go ahead and rate the podcast? That really does help us be found by more people. You can also listen on the go if you have the Moody Radio app. That's kind of like listening on demand. You can listen to not just this Bible teaching program, but other programs produced by Moody Radio and streaming music stations. And we'll link you to the app by coming to our website. It's treasuretruthradio.org. Or you can simply go to your favorite app store like the iOS App Store, Google Play, and search for Moody Radio. Well, whether you listen online, on the app, by podcasting the program, or over the radio, it's all made possible because of your generosity. So if you're a supporter of Treasure Truth, thank you for giving. It's your gifts that keep us on the air. If you've not given a gift before, if it's been a while, would you give today? Come to our website. It's treasuretruthradio.org and click on the donate button. Thanks for doing that. Thanks also to our producers, Amy and Ryan. For Pastor Ford, I'm Steve Hiller. Treasure Truth is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.